Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call this Mothership Baltimore Positive and positively All-Star Game Week around here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Fadley's at Lexington Market. It is our final Fadley's appearance of the summer because the Orioles look like they're going to fade. And beside that, we'll be at Fishmonger's Daughter in Catonsville next month with our Fadley's family as well. I'm wearing my Costas gear. We're getting back out there. We're at Coco's in early August. We're at Pizza John's later on this month. We're going to start the party at Fadley's down at Lexington Market, the Original, as the Royals are in town. We'll have the scratch offs in the Maryland Lottery to give away the Maryland treasures. It is summer long. We'll be at Mako next month as well, down there in August, crossing over the Bay Bridge, which this guy has done several times, but not lately. He's more the crossover, the Gandy or the Howard Franklin or some of those bridges down in the Tampa area. He is a Baltimorean who escaped under the hood about 3 decades ago, moved down to Tampa, was a longtime sports writer there, has inked a book on Tom Maddie to keep his Baltimore roots alive and his Northwest Baltimore alive. Were you a Milford Mill guy? What high school did you go to?
Yeah, I went to Milford. Yeah.
Alan McCallum went to Milford. My dear friend Alan McCallum, who I'm sending
I'm a
some
little
love,
older, but
family
what
love
year did
out.
I graduated in 75?
Okay. Who
And I
else? Who else went to Milford? Right? Like,
Terry oh Terry Beck, T Beck, yeah.
did Brian Jordan? He went to.
Yes. Well,
He
the
was a
funny
Milford
story is
guy,
now I'm
right?
gonna throw a name at you. I played baseball for Dave Wright, who coached all over the county.
I
I
knew
don't know
Dave
if you
Wright.
Yeah. So the joke was Milford baseball was never any good until Brian Jordan got there, which was like 9 or 10 years after I graduated, and then they won a state title. But when I was
Yeah.
there, we were like 500, but we had fun.
Yeah, well, the Mighty Millers. I wrestled there once. I lost. I remember. Joel Poily is here.
Yeah.
Joel Poily is our defending champion of all things Oriole baseball. He actually watches the Orioles from afar and goes back to. What was your first Oriole game as a kid? The 60s?
60. Oh, I remember. Yeah, my dad took me. I was six, August 5th, 1963. It was the game Mantle got his ankle or leg caught in the center field fence, trying to catch a Brooks Robinson home run. We're in the upper deck. I'm clapping, and my dad says, "No, you got to stop. You have to show reverence for a great player." So I learned about baseball etiquette right there.
Well, when the soccer guys go down during the tournament, it's not always like it was with the Mick.
No,
Like
no.
I guess the point is, I mean, you're a longtime sports writer. You've
Yeah.
covered baseball in and out of the game, spring trainings down in Florida all these years. You keep up with me. You said you're one of the 10 people in my life that when you get pissed with the Orioles, I hear about it all day. You, Pat Schroeder, Alan McCallum. I'm just trying to think of all the people that will just randomly, Joe Enoch, send me a they
Yeah.
suck. They're still ishy. I
Right.
get the memes from the Major League movie, all of that. I'm going to the All-Star game next week. As far as I know, I'm a real media member next week. It's true. Major League Baseball, they like me. They really like me. I'll be there on Monday and Tuesday researching the 2030 All-Star game that we're going to be getting here. The labor stoppage sits behind all of this. You see the
Yeah.
empty stadium from down in Tampa where you are, Joel. And I know you watch them 6 nights a week. And I know, like, you get them the way I get them. Ben McDonald, Jim Palmer comes in, whatever.
Right.
You want them to be good. You're getting older. You're semi-retirement. So you really want to enjoy this part where, like, 43 years you want them to win. But, like, you send me very astute insider sports writer, been doing this all my life, sort of observations, having watched Joe Maddon and everything going on in Tampa.
Right.
Where are you? I mean, I want you to give me the heartbeat because,
Okay.
I like talking baseball with people that like baseball. I wish we had more to talk about here, but you sit and watch Luke and I. Where are you in this
Yeah.
outfit, Joel?
A couple things real quick. Is 2030 definite for Baltimore
It's going to
getting there?
happen. Just trust me on that.
Okay,
I
I
haven't
kind
sent
of
the WNST text service yet, but
okay.
my sources tell me. How about that? Is that good? My sources tell me.
Good enough for me, bro.
All right.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was 26 the last time the Orioles won a World Series. That's how crazy this is. Here's what I want to do today, Ness. We can talk about the players. I'll throw some numbers out there because I always do my research before I come on. But I want to take a hard look at Elias. I was reading something just before I came on, how the Orioles kind of rate in the middle of the pack for every draft pick that Elias has had that has made it to the majors. I have a good friend down here who's like a part-time scout slash analytics guy with the Rays, but you know, he's like us. He understands analytics, but he also understands that a lot of it's just superfluous BS. And he's telling me this is the inside view of how Major League Baseball and other organizations view Elias and the Orioles. They can't develop pitching. And fundamentally, when their guys get to the majors, they are not ready. And what also perplexes a lot of people, and it's kind of interesting too now, because Hyde is in upper management with the Rays, they just don't understand how when our kids get to the majors, so many of them fail and fail really badly. And look, I'm glad Kowser's had a good month, but you know, in the overall, he's won. I'm going to read you a scouting report of some guy, and I bet you'll be able to figure it out. This was a high school scouting report from this kid. Big power bat, tall, rangy, bad feet, bad hands, strong but inaccurate arm. Who do you think that is? I can tell you the year he was drafted, if that helps.
Sure. 2021. Is that Mayo? I don't even know.
Bingo. Bingo. You got it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Crushed
That's
it.
That's not
in high
bad. That was literally just a guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Crushed it in high school. Typical Elias draft pick. You know who they're looking at in with the number 7 pick now? This kid, Drew Burris from Georgia Tech. Big, strong center fielder. Great power. Supposedly good bat-to-ball skills. You know, he's highly rated. There's something systemically wrong with the organization and the way they develop players. Look, I'm glad Cal's back in the organization and taking this bigger picture overview, although the whole wonkiness of him not talking about it.
You really think he's doing anything? I mean, Luke and I got into this off the air over my peach cake before we did this segment because we've spent 2 hours on a holiday week.
Yeah,
he's going on break next week. I'm doing the show at Fadley's this week. We took an assessment of all of this, but when we got off the air, I got profane as I'm known to do and work blue. And I just ripped their asses from top to bottom off the air. I mean, ripped them personally, professionally, in every potential way I could rip them from Rubenstein, Arrighetti, Griggs, Rovac, Fine, Elias, Albernaz. I mean, I don't have anything good to say about any of them on a personal level, as a human, as a fan, as an Aparicio, as a media member, as a guy with a credit card, as a guy who's a Masson subscription holder, as a guy with an FCC license, as a guy who's had a media credential taken away from him by the other creep 20 years ago, celebrating the 20th year. Like, all the way through, I look at all of them, and I'm thinking, who's really good at what they do?
Right.
Who's come at this from a, other than Ben McDonald, maybe Kevin Brown, and I don't trust Kevin Brown because he can't be honest. He works for Greg Bader. So, like, when I can't trust the broadcasts, when I'm listening to WBAL and I know that, like, if somebody doesn't leg out a triple, they're not allowed to say that, and everything has to be in bloom for them when they're 10 games under 500.
Right.
My credibility's not going to, you know, me and Locke and Fora, I'll throw Luke in there too. You know, our credibility's not going into the can. But where is the credibility for any of these people from Elias through? And to your point, even the credibility in the players. Where's Henderson? What is Rutschman really? What is Basayo really going to be? Is Holiday really a 1-1? Kowser is a first round pick. Like, is there anything? Right. About this that's in bloom, to use a Nirvana song, and literally to say, is any of this good enough, or does it trend in the direction that you'd say, I have to keep this, even if it's Jackson Holiday? Do I have to not deal him by the end of the month if somebody else gave me three other pieces? I don't know, but I wouldn't have Elias making the decisions now. But then again, I don't have any confidence in Arrighetti and Rubenstein to replace him. So I am befuddled by all of it because I've never seen anything like it, Joel. I can't identify anything about it that's good. Anything. No, nothing.
Well, when other organizations are telling you that too, that they look at what's going on and they don't understand it. I mean, they see some talent that's coming into the organization, but they're excoriating everything that goes on in the minor leagues. I
If
mean,
you're going to
yeah.
call Pete Alonso an asset, you paid $150 million
No.
for him. That's not a bargain, and you couldn't deal him tomorrow morning if you tried. So it's already a bad deal because you couldn't trade him and get
No.
anything back. You'd just be lucky to take the money. And that's part of spending the money
Right.
that Arrighetti and Moneybags, Mr. I have a bobblehead and I hung out with Epstein, and I
Yeah.
don't want to talk about it, but that didn't really happen. And I'm married. I'm on a boat. Because
Yeah.
I'm a billionaire,
Right.
big boat on a yacht.
Right.
That's who these cats are, and it smells it, Joel. It just feels it. It oozes it here. And you're down in
Any.
Tampa where they're still trying to do hand-to-hand combat to try to
Yeah.
like get a stadium and pretend that they're not carpetbaggers. That they're a local entity for the South Florida area. Whatever. Like
Right.
the Orioles, they don't feel like anything to me. Locally, they have no soul at this point.
If there was an ownership group that knew anything about baseball, Elias would have been gone probably in May when they began to sink again. Maybe they had given would have given him one more year coming off of last year. But the more I look at this guy, here's how I look at Elias. When he took over in what was it, 18, fall of 18
Been a long
after.
time, 8 years.
I thought he was the right guy for the job simply because he was young, energetic. It was going to require 80-hour weeks. He came from two good organizations, St. Louis, Houston. You might not like what went on in Houston with the cheating, but they went from 300 lost seasons in a row to six straight consecutive ALCSs, two World Series titles. They knew how to draft develop, although they went about it a little differently because they signed some free agents. I happen to really like AJ Hinch too. I think he just got caught up in that cheating mess. But okay, so Elias comes in. You knew he was going to bring in all his analytics geeks. He got the international thing going, but the only piece from it is Basayo. You got a bunch of 16 and 17 year olds down there in the Dominican that we don't know anything about, and they're years from showing anything. I mean, that just shows how far away the Orioles were when he took over. But
You
his.
remember that famous sign on the door in Korea? The
Yeah.
Orioles aren't allowed. No Orioles. Do you remember
Oh,
that sign? It's
I sort
hilarious.
of. It's. But I question his. I hate the way he works around the margins. And you're right about Alonso. There when it's not a team that would take him. My friend with the Rays was telling me he's 32. He's having a great year, but you can already see he's slowing down hitting fastballs. That's why he hits everything to the opposite field. But yeah, he's having a good year. I'm not going to deny that. But the whole thing with you look at their player development, and you know how I got a great quote about Holiday. I'm going to resurrect Casey Stengel. When he took over the Mets in 1962, he had an 18-year-old catcher, one of the great names in baseball, Greg Goosen. Greg Goosen, 18-year-old catcher. And the media asked Casey, "Well, what do you think of the kid?" And he said, "Well, he's 18, and in 10 years, he has a chance to be 28." Well, that's my view of Holiday. He's 22 and he has a chance to be 23. I don't see one thing about that kid that is 1-1. And my friend and I were talking. He said he's, and this is what he sees, but I see the same thing. Unathletic, no arm, terrible batting approach. But then we were talking more generally, and he asked me, "Why do guys fall off the cliff? Why was Adley so bad for a year and a half? What's up with Gunner?" And Gunner, I've told you, I just think Boris got to him in the off season, and because his swing is the same, but all he's trying to do is jack the ball. I mean, it was nice that he hit that sac fly yesterday, the opposite field, but. Everything about this team and this organization is consistently inconsistent. I mean, 6-14 in one run games We all know that if you look at their record from about mid-June,
Dude, Holiday's hitting 187.
mid-June until now, they're about 25, almost 30 games under 500. That's not just close to 500. That's lousy baseball, brother. And yeah, as far
Defensively, it's the worst team I've ever seen.
what's that?
It's defensive,
Oh, no
defensively,
question.
it's the worst team I've ever seen in
Let me
for
get this in there real
an
quick.
Oriole team. Now I'm saying, like, because
Right.
the Orioles valued defense the first 45 years of my
Oh, yeah.
life, even
Yeah.
when they stunk when Mike Hargrove was here and Lee
Right.
Mazzilli and Mike Flanagan, they wanted Mike Bordick at shortstop. They
Right.
cared about, because of the Belanger, Aparicio, Ripken way, like
Right.
all of that, like Paul Blair, all the things you'll talk about,
Yeah.
where philosophically the Oriole way began with Belanger might hit 195, but
Yeah.
we're not going to kick the ball around because our pitchers are going to be great, and the only way we can keep our Smoltzes and your Glavins and Maddoxes is to catch the
Right.
ball. You
Right.
can't give 32 outs a game away, and they do that on the routine. A night when they have two errors is a night
Right.
when they've made five mistakes,
Right.
right?
And
Like
like you
literally,
say, a
errors and
lot of them.
mistakes are different.
And like you say, a lot of those mistakes aren't even in the box score. They don't back up the right base. They throw to the wrong base. They don't show up as errors, physically. But that's why they can't win more than three freaking games in a row, brother, because they're going to make so many defensive mistakes that even like yesterday, I mean, they didn't make too many mistakes and it was a shame to waste Bradish's effort. But when your defense is that bad, you're going to make enough mistakes that you can't sustain a long winning streak. And it's a joke. I mean, even bad teams win four in a row once in a while. But that tells you just how consistently inconsistent they are. Here's another stat for you. About 2 weeks ago, I think it was in the Orioles were playing the Angels, who were terrible, and then they botched that last game of the Angel series. As bad as the Angels are, they hit about 250 with runners in scoring position. The Orioles hit 196 and two outs. The Orioles hit 196 with runners in scoring position and two outs. Look, I didn't expect Adley to get a big hit yesterday in the ninth, although it would have been nice. He's having a nice year, but people are forgetting he's missed one third of the games. I mean, it would be nice to see his stats if he had played 80 games. He's played what, 91, 92 games already. But they have so many problems internally, I believe, that need to be fixed. I mean, you mentioned you don't know how much Rip is really doing. I'm just glad that they're using him more. I mean, you would know more than me. Supposedly, I mean, I read that article in The Athletic by Brittany and Rosenthal. I mean, it looks like he's taking a holistic approach to this, but how much of what he's saying are they using? I mean, you tell me.
I don't know. I can't ask them. I'm not a real media member,
Yeah,
Joel.
it's true.
And even if I were, Luke assures me they would hide from me, and I know they would.
They would have
And that's
kicked
half the
me out.
problem.
Yeah, they would have
Yeah.
kicked me out too, brother, because I hate pack journalism, but I know after games you need a quick quote to fill out your story. I would have requested like
For
five
what? The
minutes with
printing presses that don't exist anymore?
like 5 minutes with Gunnar and 5 minutes with Elias. And I would have just asked them what fans want you to ask. And I mean, you can see when Elias gives you that 15-minute presser, every couple months. But you notice how he's hiding now. He's not in the stands. You don't see him. There's just so much about that organization that leads you to
It just
question
feels
what they're
cowardly to
doing.
me, and it feels
Yeah.
corporately cowardly, and
Yeah.
showing up and doing papal waves and then hiding, and the stadium's empty. I mean,
Another
it's
good point.
funereal. It really is. I mean, I went to lunch 2 weeks ago with someone who owns a local business who's a real baseball guy. His kid plays ball. He's a real baseball guy, and he's got enough money that he could afford to buy tickets that he wants. And he was into their 13-game plan, 10 rows behind home plate for 20 years at 15 grand a year. You know what I mean? Like, four tickets a game for 13 games. You do the math. It's 52 tickets, Right. You know what I mean? Times $150. It was 15 grand, whatever it was, right?
Yeah,
And
a lot of money.
they said to him, you got to buy all 81 or you can't have that seat anymore. And all 81 was
Yeah.
90,000. It was like that, right?
Yeah.
He's like, well, then you're just not going to get my 15, 14 grand anymore. And he didn't get like, and it
Yeah.
reflects that. The emptiness of the bowl of the stadium reflects the lack of corporate support, the lack
Right.
of real support, and the way they have treated me. And what I can't get across to the people in Middle River and my friends from Dundalk and Essex who think it's funny that I've been shat upon, like
Right.
that's cool. It's
Uh-huh.
not cool. It's not, it
Not at
was
all.
never cool when Angelos did it. And when the Angelos thing happened, as I'm doing the
Right.
20th anniversary of Free the Birds, the real reason it happened is I was exasperated by saying, why do you mistreat people?
Right.
What is it? It's like Trump. Like, what is it about this that is so attractive that you would mistreat your fans? And or you would mistreat Jim Palmer, or that
Yeah.
and they're both dead now, but that Angelos would mistreat Brooks Robinson. Like,
Yeah.
I don't understand the arrogance of it, but if you've met Michael Arougetti, oh, I just came up with that. Hello, I'm making stuff up as I come
Write
along.
that one down,
These
brother.
newspaper guys, hey, oh, the AI already got it. I met Arougetti. He was one of the most arrogant humans I've ever met in my life. I mean, he's there on opening day. He's shooting videos of himself buying beer for everybody. That was totally a put on. Like the whole thing's a put on. The whole thing's like a Johnny Bravo. Like Sherwood Schwartz came in to direct an episode of Gilligan's Island and telling everybody where to stand
Right.
and when to hit the punchline and when to get the pie in the face. And like,
Right.
this is there's nothing genuine about these people that have bought the team, the
Right.
people running the team, the woman that they brought in that they've imported to get this all-star game. She can run around and parade that around beginning
Right.
next week. And
Right.
the thing's going to hell. And I'm sitting here witnessing it, and I'm Baltimore positive. Hey, be positive.
Right.
Well, positive's being honest, and being
Yeah.
honest is what I've been doing for 35 years, and this is worse than it's ever been. Because the
Yeah.
confidence level of Angelos was whatever it was,
Right.
people believed in this guy. And he made a bobblehead of himself and he's run like hell from Epstein. He stopped
Right.
going to the games. This guy's a fraud. And I was told that before he sat in the seat. I was told by someone who knew him, beware of David Rubenstein. He is not going to make a very good baseball owner. He's an egomaniac. Is what I was told about him, that he's buying this as an asset. He buys things and sells them. He's a toy collector of the Magna Carta. He likes collecting toys. And when this toy's shiny, it'll be good for him. When it's not shiny, it's, he's Mr. Magooing off on an island, and that's where it is. This is an ownership crisis for a civic asset that we have put $600 million into fixing their scoreboard and evicting the press from the press box to build a lounge, an airport lounge that people don't want, that no one wanted to buy.
I
I
know.
like I don't have a good story. I'd love to put season ticket holders on my airwaves right now who are happy, who would sit here and literally tell me what's good about the new ownership and the new this and the new. The only one talking good about the concessions is Melanie Newman and Rob Long, and I'm sure they're being paid to do that. So I like all of it is. I did say something good about their concession. I bought a Heritage barbecue when I went out there. Brisket, it was delicious. But it was a one day. It was a pop-up. It's true though.
Well, you're looking at the attendance. I mean, because I follow that too. Yes, they draw better on weekends and probably when they have promotions and bobbleheads. But and I think you've said this. I see crowds on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 25, 26, 27. If they were playing better and they were any good and the people felt invested, those weekend crowds should be 35, 36,
They
37,
need to be.
closer to
They
40,
must
and they're
be.
not even close.
I mean, Steve Bisciotti once said something, and this is in his billionaire arrogance, but you can go back and look it up. Back when somebody asked him about how much money he was taking from the team, might have been Drew. I don't know. But it was 20 years ago. It was 2000, maybe post Billick, but right around that time, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe even when Billick, when he gave Billick a cold shoulder in four, three, four, five. Whenever that was,
Down there.
whenever it was, he said, "We have an obligation to make profit. We have an obligation to be profitable." And I thought to myself, because I own a business, I'm like, yeah, that's what I tried to explain to Bob Haney and Rob. Like, those guys were here, like, hey, if the Orioles don't pay the bill, I can't pay you. Yeah, that's why Rob Long was holding the Free the Bird sign up 20 years ago and isn't anymore. And I'm going to be resharing the 20th anniversary of Free the Birds, not because I want to, not because I'm doing another one. The headline, Joel, is for Katie and for Rubenstein. I don't care enough to do Free the Birds. I put a
That's
lot of effort into Free the Birds that summer, a lot of effort.
a lot of money too,
And I'm
I
not printing up t-shirts. I'm not, you know why? Because no one cares. No one cares enough to walk out on them. They've already walked out on them. And
We've
that's the sad part. That's really, and they don't even know it. And they're, if Katie's got a resume out the door to get the next job in Boysenberry or wherever it's going to be, and take her team with her, a team of experts, out of town experts, and Mark Fine wants to go work for another creep like the UFC guy, putting cage fights out on the lawn of the White House. Like, to me, these are just bad people, and I've been treated poorly by them, and so have a lot of other people. And I don't know how they're going to come up from that, Joel. I don't know how they're going to come up and get oxygen when the time comes and people have to reach for their credit cards and pay for this again. I don't know who's going to pay for it again. I really don't.
We couldn't wait to get rid of Angelos, and my I had so many gripes with him too, but let's go back to what 96, 97. He had the best manager in baseball and the best GM, Johnson and Pat Gill, and he ran them out of town. And that's when things went south for what, the next 14 years. They were
Well, then
terrible.
Messina was next, right? And then they couldn't get pitcher. I mean, we can go through. Look, I wrote books on that. How? And when I wrote the book, people read that. Like a guy like Adam Jones, who I wrote that book for, could not believe how Angelos behaved like Donald Trump. Like he was a maniac. I mean, Angelos was maniacal in the 90s in how he behaved with owning the team. The fax machine, the drunk late night phone calls to Peter Schmuck and Tom Boswell, just on and on and on and on and
Crazy.
on and on. The shit he talked in the paper about everybody, about Bud Selig, like just in general, when people read it, and it's the New York Times and it's Hal Bodley writing about it at USA Baseball, and who was the baseball writer at the Times, and I'm forgetting his name, the legendary baseball weekly writer there. But this is
I know.
all written in their words. You know what I'm saying? And I can't, this new group has not in any way embraced Baltimore and they're going through these tough times. This is an ownership crisis for this group over the next month. And then on top of that, the labor deal. And I don't know that. There's no sign that they're up to the task right now.
When we were talking probably a couple months ago, what did I call Rubenstein? I said to me, he comes off very disingenuous. I really dislike people like that, where when you're talking with them and it's like they're looking through you. It's like, I'm better than you. I know more than you, but they're not listening to you. And just from what, my family and friends up there have told me, and I listen to Locke and Four and other people up there too, they don't get it at all. But like you said in the beginning of the segment, I mean, he's out gallivanting around. It's just a commodity to him. So we couldn't wait to get rid of the Angelos family, and look what we got,
Well,
man.
it hasn't taken us long to catch on. You know what I mean?
No,
I mean, the
no.
opening day, I'm locked out of the press conference. They send a PR guy to me to get me to emote. Like, I sat with him for an I cried, Joel. I cried on the club level telling this guy my story and how much the Orioles meant to me. And he admitted to me that he didn't know anything about baseball. He didn't even understand it. And the next time I heard back from him 6 weeks later, where he's reading off of a memo that Greg Bader sent him to read to me to tell me what a piece of manure I am, what a prick I am, and how
Amazing.
unworthy I am of a media pass.
And hearing
Like,
that from other people, I mean, he didn't.
this is 26 months ago now.
Yeah.
And now he's whistling the national anthem and has made it known. Rubinstein's writing a book on his ownership already because this guy's a part of
Man.
it, the whistler.
Amazing.
Like
Amazing.
these, from top to bottom, these people have been frauds. I don't know any other. They're not getting a nickel from me other than the cable TV money that my wife sinks into our Verizon account. And we Verizon everything here
Yeah.
because they help us feed our family too. But
Right.
like, if I had the $20 a month plan, I'd pull it. Everybody, I think, guess everybody gave him $99 that's on the band, that's on the
Right.
show, right? Like, so I don't
Yeah.
know that they're gonna. I don't know how many people are giving them $20 a month to pull their revenue. That if they lost 20,000 subscriptions next month because people are just like, I'm done for, they're not going to get 3 more months worth of my money. They have no
Right.
off-season plan. The television network is a joke. They've
Yeah.
divorced themselves from the Nationals, but they haven't fixed anything. I don't see any
No.
revenue. Joel, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this
Yeah.
way more so than I was 20 years ago in regard to what it's going to be 20 years from now. But I'm not
Right.
writing about it. I'm not caring to free the bird. You couldn't pay me to do Free the Birds this year, literally. If there's a sponsor who wants to give me 100 grand right now to run
Right.
Free the Birds the next 3 months, I would say to that sponsor, we can't get anybody. Nobody hates these people.
Yeah.
They're irrelevant. Who
Yeah.
hates David Rubenstein? What are people stabbing the bobblehead, like stabbing the wallet? Like,
Right.
he's a non-factor, and the team has become a non-factor. No one
Yeah.
cares enough about them or believes in that they're here to save the city, or that they're going to
No.
save tourism, or they're going to save Phillips in the harbor, or people are going to fill up the hotels, or the Yankees fans are going to come, or the Red Sox fans are going to come. Like, I
I
mean, I
got
don't even
you.
know what they have to hang their hat on, bro. I really don't, And I know I'm rambling. It's 4:30, but I'm pissed off beyond. I'm past pissed off. I was pissed off 20 years ago. I don't even know what I am. I'm exasperated, the way Jack Gibbons was with me when I was a kid.
I have a lot of friends up there that are exasperated, Ness. I mean, they're already telling me this was mid-June. Hey, can't wait till Ravens training camp starts. I mean, that's how tuned out people are. I mean, all I can say regarding Elias is he's one lucky dude because, like I said before, if anybody in that ownership group knew anything about baseball, he would have been out. I mean, he's on his third manager, the
It's a
development.
philosophical thing, right? Like we don't draft pitchers, we don't draft defense, and then the players we actually draft are hitting 194 and 188 in the big leagues in their
In the
20,
big leagues,
25, 26, 27 year years, right?
but
Literally.
they hit a 450 foot home run once every other week. That's why we like them. I don't get it. Other than I've taken a hard look at Elias, and I'm wondering if he's just one of those guys. He's very smart. I think he's a Yale grad. Maybe he talked his way into a job, and then he kind of moved along, and then he made some friends, especially when he got to Houston, and he speaks very well, but it's all double speak and coach speak and GM speak, like 3 weeks ago or whenever he
It's
spoke. And
disingenuous, is what it is, at the very
then he
least.
goes out, and then the team goes out and loses 4 in a row, which I would thought was hilarious. I just don't have any confidence in the guy anymore. So, bad ownership, bad GM, bad farm system, bad development going on, guys getting to the majors, and some of them, when they get there, they plateau, i.e. Gunnar, i.e. Adley, Couser's like this. Mayo shouldn't have, in our day, man, he would have never made it out of double A. There's just no way. So that's what you got. It's a shame they're wasting some of this good pitching. I mean, just to get back on the field a little bit, but none of it'll matter because they can't catch the
So you
ball
and
and they
I,
don't.
like, you're like an old fart. You're fun because I could play like
Yeah.
name. I could play name association. I could say Jim Fuller, and you could say Drungo Hazewood,
Hey.
right? I could say Jim Traber, and you would say Ken
Mark
Gerhart.
Gerhart.
There,
Mark
I knew where you were going. I knew that. I could say
Gerhart.
Craig Worthington, and you would, like, we could play this game.
Glenn Gulliver.
I could say Matt Wieters and you could say Adley Rutschman. I mean, and
Yeah.
all of it doesn't add up. And look, I'm not,
No.
because my last name's Aparicio, I don't need to pimp out Brooks and Frank and Paul Blair and Jim Palmer. I mean, hell, Rogers did a good enough job for all of us doing that last year with his play. But like in
Yeah.
a general sense, I'm
Yeah.
not pining away for anything. I'm pining away for a few things. By the way, Joel Poilievre is our guest here. He is a Tom Matty author, longtime sports writer. If you're familiar, Poilievre. Hold the book up. Talk about the book.
There you go. Oh, that's about came out a couple years ago. It's doing very well. It's basically about Tom's life, but it starts out with that controversial playoff game against the Packers in '65, and takes it right up through the end of his life, to 10 years he was with the Ravens.
The wristband.
And oh well, yeah, it's on the cover.
Yeah, right.
And basically, you know how much he loved Baltimore and all the stuff he went through with Irsay, and basically how he was pretty instrumental with helping the Browns come to Baltimore because of his friendship with Modell, and just what an icon in the community he was. So if you like old cold history, old NFL history, you'll like the book.
And if you Google my name and Facebook, I told the I'll cry telling it, so I'm not going to tell it. But Tom Matty, the great Lenny Moore, and I want to
It's
give
in
a
the
shout
book.
out. I got to give some love here. I told you I saw your book in the window at Gentleman's Gentleman on Joppa Row. We lost Sam LaMantia this week,
Oh
the
man.
founder of the
I
Ed Block Courage Awards, many, many years ago. Actually, today is his burial. As we literally, it's in 5 minutes. We're doing a morning
Wow.
segment on Monday.
No, I
I
remember
couldn't be there
Sam.
this morning to support Paulie and his family. So I just want to give some love. I'll share a photo later on. I have some photos of me and Sam during our Ed Block days up at St. Vincent Center with the children playing football up there in March. Every March, we did that for years and years. I was their community spokesperson at the turn of the century. Wore a lot of tuxedos at Martin's West, had a lot of football players on. I just wanted to say that because Tom's picture's all over the walls. He and Sammy, I mean, I ran into Tom a lot at Sam's place. Over, I mean, Gentleman's Gentleman was a real sort of hub for old Colts players for a long, long time. So, and their pictures are all over the wall there, including Joe Ehrman and Johnny U and like all that stuff. So, but to the Orioles, and this is where I am, and I'm not bleeding heart that it has to be perfect all the time, but it's just been really, really poor. This new ownership group has been really, really poor. And it's not me being a jerk saying it. Everybody's saying it now, except them. And the empire, and the, you know, the emperor has no clothes at this point, because like this is an ownership issue. And this is why I keep going back to Luke and to every fan, every listener. It's Albernaz, it's the players, it's Elias, it's Katie Gray. No, man. No. These are billionaires. They went into this. They came here. They did the Papa wave. They talked the game. They brought Calvin Hill. They or Grant Hill. They brought Kurt Schmoke. They look. You own the team, man. The buck stops with you. We gave you $600 million to fix up this crib here. You're supposed to be in on this. I'm not going to let that go. I'll hold Elias accountable and Albernaz for what's going on in the field. But these people have shown no spirit to have a local plan. To do anything other than grease off politicians and pat everybody on the back and do their little symposiums in rich people rooms where they're trying to get donations and trying to affect this and affect that to get more property and more land and TIF that and tax this and like all of that. Great. How about you be good community partners? Start with that, because that's where the whole thing started 75 years ago, with a nice Jewish dude that owned a brewery who wanted to do good things around here and give the city
Bingo.
something to cheer about and sell some beer. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what this is. That's not what this is.
You got to, you know, that video I sent you, Spirit of 66, where Sterling interviews Hofberger after they beat the Dodgers. You got to look at that and put it on your site, because after the initial patting on the back of Hofberger, Hofberger makes the statement
John
that,
Sterling?
yeah,
A very
really.
young John Sterling. Okay.
I have stories about John. My best friend across the street, his mother dated John. It's
He used to
crazy.
call the show all the time, and then I have tapes of me and John Sterling when he passed away. He used to do my show all the time. He loved Baltimore. Yeah.
He did, and
He loved Baltimore.
he and Carvelis were like this. But on that video, Hofberger makes it a point that I owed something to the city. I wanted to give back to the city. And that's why I bought the team. That's why I signed off on the Frank Robinson trade, even though I knew it was controversial. You go back and listen to it. That's a true owner. Look, basically an outsider, but it hurts me quite a bit when I see what's going on out there, because I'm like you, I don't see how this gets better. I mean, it's when you have people that detached and people running the show that aren't doing the job.
And the people that own it don't know it.
Not at all. The
bad news about Chad Steele, honestly, is how awful he is at his job and how awful he is at treating people. The worst part is his boss likes it and doesn't care. Sashi Brown sanctions it, and Steve Bisciotti overlords it. They like treating me like shit. They're proud of it. Yeah. They're proud of it. Ask them. When you see Chad Steele, ask him how proud he is of treating, of I don't even want to say out loud what happened here in the spring, but something's gone down here that I'm going to report if it doesn't get reported, because it's outrageous. It's outrageous what's going on with the media here and what these power brokers and these billionaires that own these two franchises, what they've done to people like me and Jason Lock and Four and everyone else along the line, while the Vivianos and the Schmucks and all those people, Connolly, all those people are just gone. And then when crazy stuff happens in front of Jeff Srebeck and Jameson Hensley, stuff that they know is unethical and wrong, they don't report it because they're afraid. That's what they've done to the reporters.
I can tell in the post-game
question. They know it's wrong I've been thrown out.
Yeah.
As I'd say it's wrong if they were thrown out. I don't even like Jerry Coleman. Everybody knows that. But if they threw him out, I wouldn't think it's right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't find an excuse to make Chad Steele the good guy because I don't like Jerry. I mean, it's silly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're billionaires. Tax breaks, asking us for $20 for a beer and $300 for a ticket and $50 to park. Come on, man. This isn't the philanthropy that Rubenstein talked about 2 years ago. This is a fleecing, is what it is. It's a civic fleecing by these arrogant, out-of-touch billionaires who mistreat the media, the fans, anybody that's in their way. They'll mistreat them. That doesn't write them a big enough check, period.
They even hired a manager that fits right in with them. I listened to a lot of the post-game interviews just to get caught up. Albernaz was very highly thought of within the industry because, again, my friend who works with the Rays said, they knew he was going to be a manager someday, because he was in their system. I think he didn't make it past Double A, but he was your typical catcher, brainy guy, knew a lot about the game. But I think he's very disingenuous too. And I can tell when the media is asking him questions, he gets that Boston snark about him. Like Costa asked him a question.
He's beyond prickly. He's a guy I don't want to know. I watch him on TV and think, that guy and I would go nose to nose. That guy would burr up and say something shitty to me. And I would say, what? I'm older than you, pal. I've been around here a while. Treat me with the respect I deserve, the respect that I give you, the respect I give you getting in my car and coming down here and doing my job against all odds when your people don't let me in and try to professionally deter me from even watching your games when it's all I've done to feed my family all my life. So I burr up at these guys big time. Albernaz and I would not get along. I look at it and say he has no respect for what I do for a living. Nor does Elias.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell. I mean, because Andy and a lot of those guys are trying to do their job, and he just takes their questions and turns it around. Like somebody asked him about Gunnar moving within the lineup, and he said, I moved him from 2-1. Ha ha ha. If I was there,
To the fans.
Bingo.
You're not talking to Luke or me or somebody you like or don't like. You're not talking to Melanie or Rob or people you have in your pocket or your coworkers or whatever. You're talking to the people buying the tickets. You're talking to the people buying the donuts.
Exactly.
Be respectful.
And the thing is, you still wonder if he's making these calls. I think he's a terrible manager. I mean, if he's the one taking out Trey Gibson after four innings and trying to get 15 outs with a mediocre or worse pen, that makes no sense. Why, if I was there, I would ask him, why are you not moving Blaze Alexander up and Gunner down? Because you don't want to hurt Gunner's feelings. That's a bad lineup. I mean, that's getting down in the
Well,
weeds
whatever
about
happened with
the team, but
Pasiuk a couple weeks ago was
I don't
very
like the guy, man.
unseemly for a rookie manager with a young player. And
Yeah.
I woke him up. You seen his numbers lately? He's a better player. Okay,
Did
great. So.
you read something where when a lot of times when Basayo like makes a hard out or strikes out, he cries on the bench? I mean, this is a very immature, I read that a couple of weeks ago, very immature 21-year-old, and they're trying to make him a catcher, and I don't even think he's that great defensively. He's a DH first baseman in the making, except the first base is blocked for the next 5 years. But no, I don't like the way Albernaz comes off. And I just question a lot of his moves, but I wonder how many of them are coming from Sig and Elias.
Yeah, and they would cover for, I mean, I just don't
They
feel like I'm
would.
getting any truth,
No.
like as a fan, as a media member,
No.
like
And that turns
you want me
people
to,
off.
yeah, you want me to invest in this? How about you just, I give you a lot of time. Don't bullshit me. How about that?
Yeah.
Joel Poilievre is here. He's written books. He's a longtime sports writer in the Tampa area, but has all sorts of Baltimore roots, and is one of the 10 people in my life who beats up my phone every time something really awful and stupid happens with the Orioles, which it happens a lot. And look, football season's around the corner. I will re return to you after the All-Star break, after my
Okay.
experience at the at there. And look, they are going to get an All-Star game here. I think that's going to be the take
Okay.
out of this within the next week or two. Though she will come back from Philadelphia, Katie Griggs, with an All-Star game in her bag to give to Don Rovac and their sales team for a work stoppage that I don't think any of them understand that we understand it because we've had history with it and
Right.
knowing that there's no bottom, but I don't know how the bellies are for this current group of players led by the
Yeah.
Bryce Harpers and the Verlanders and the Scherzers and those guys
Right.
to fight with this group of billionaires who have leveraged a lot of money.
Yeah.
Rubenstein likes to act like he's like the richest guy on earth and everybody talk, oh, he's so rich. Well, then why was he looking for partners to get to buy pieces of this?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he's moving money around. He spent too much money on it. It's clearly not. It's not pumping off money. This isn't the
Nope.
National Football League. We got to sing for our supper now. We
Yep.
actually have to have fans and subscribers, and people actually have to come and buy stuff like the NHL. Like they actually have to buy tickets and beer and stuff in order for us to make. They have to subscribe to our lousy app and network that barely works half the time. Couldn't even
I
get the
know.
games on three. You watching that night? They couldn't get the games on.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, this is a
No.
joke. I mean, like, I'm going through things that have really happened, and all that they do is ban me from asking them questions to answer them. It's insane,
Yeah.
dude. So, I mean, and they're
Yeah.
toiling toward last place at this point, which I hope it doesn't bottom out because I don't know that they have a problem solver. Because you could say,
No.
well, if it bottoms out, they'll get rid of Elias and
I think he's safe. I really do. Because
really?
there's nobody there to have the oversight to say, dude, what are you doing? I mean, he can go into any meeting with Arrigetti or Rubenstein or any of those people and explain his way out of this mess, I believe. I think if there was somebody who knew enough about baseball, they could question him, hold his feet to the fire. And the proof is in the pudding. The results aren't good. Hey, let me leave everybody
Well,
with one.
Arrigetti is going to be the decision maker.
Yeah, you
And
said that.
according to everyone I know who's been in contact with him, including me,
Right.
good luck with that, dude. There's a
Yeah.
reason this guy's been hiding. He's a handful. And he is going to be the prime mover of this
Yeah.
franchise. Michael Arrigetti will
Yeah.
either sell this or dive in and roll his sleeves up and
Okay.
become Mr. Big around here, and that's going to happen. He is running it. He is running the team. Michael Ayer, nothing's happening there without him saying to Rubenstein, I like that, or I don't like that, or I think that's it. Because
Right.
Rubenstein doesn't have any ideas, right? We've been through
No.
this. He doesn't really know anything
Yeah.
about baseball. It's clear, right? Arrigetti thinks he knows something about baseball,
You
which
think he
could
would?
be, it was probably really dangerous, quite frankly.
I mean, you think he would sell the team possibly if it just doesn't line up with it monetarily
Well,
what
they're
he's
not
looking
having
for?
any fun and they're not making any money.
No, not at
You know what I mean?
all.
If they're not having any, do you think they're going to have any fun in the off season during this work stoppage? It's
Heck
not going to be any
no.
fun for them.
No.
Here's two things they're not going to do in the off season: win a World Series or control the work stoppage. And you know what those guys like
Oh,
more
yeah.
than anything? The reason they lock me out, they love control.
Oh,
Controls
yeah.
everything, controls their game. And they're not in control of whether they're getting on the field next April or not at all. They're
No.
in their worst nightmare. They're in a room with 30 other pricks just like them,
And
trying to
you're
beat
good.
up other millionaire pricks
Right.
and debase them and say, you're a relief pitcher. What are you worth? You're a
And there go the
baseball player.
profits. Yep, down the
Yeah.
tubes.
Well, that's where it was 40 years ago when it was George Steinbrenner fighting with these guys. George
Yeah.
Steinbrenner had some money and liked himself and had a country club membership. These people are on a different level. Cohen, Rubin, these are billionaires. This isn't
Yep.
Art Modell and
No.
Peter Angelos rolling into some tobacco money. These are guys
Right.
that collect the
Exactly.
Magna Carta and then talk about philanthropy. I mean, literally. I mean, it's a different grade of human we're dealing
Yeah.
with, where Bisciotti started as that guy and has now graduated 20 years later into being this
Right.
arrogant, off the yacht prick in Florida who's disappeared and doesn't want any part of everything he said he was going to be involved in when the marriage started, back when I
Yeah.
bought the PSL, right? Like literally, those promises are long since dried up.
Look at that video I sent you from 66. It's, I'll resend it to you and watch that interview with Hofberger.
Share
You'll.
it out on Facebook and I'll share it. How about that?
Okay. Can I say one? I have one other
Final
base.
parting shots. Joel Poilievre is here from Tampa. Go ahead, Joel.
This isn't really a parting shot, but this is for people up there who follow the team and don't understand why they can't win more than three in a row. Brooks Robinson was a 267 career hitter. You'd look at his box score a lot of nights, you know, one for four, but he didn't strike out. Ask Terry Crowley, who the best clutch hitter from the seventh inning on in any game ever was. Brooks was not a good fastball hitter. He a lot of times would get overpowered by the big pitchers of the day, whether it was Nolan Ryan, Sam McDowell, Bert Blyleven, Lindy McDaniel. I know these names don't mean anything to most people, Dick Raddatz. If the game was on the line and you had the tie run or the go-ahead run at second, he'd shorten up by a quarter inch and just hit these worm-burning ground balls barely over the pitcher's mound, barely over second base.
Situational hitting, literally situational
Barely
hitting.
squeaking between a diving shortstop and second baseman, not getting 200 feet into center field, didn't matter. Game tied, Orioles win.
And his
That's
teammates
clutch
meet him in the
hitting.
locker room, even when he's young, and say, he's
Right.
a winner. He
Right.
cares about us winning.
Right.
Well,
He
that, a
did what he
lot of
had to
part of the
do.
game has gone from that with hit and run
That's
and
clutch hitting.
situationally. Right, sure.
Yeah, and people wonder why the Orioles can't win more than three in a row. And you look at that little LOB stat in the box score, you know, one for 12, 0 for 8. That's why.
And they don't catch the ball very well either.
Well, you're right. I was trying to think of a worse defensive team. Maybe the 88 team with the illustrious, like, Jeff Stone in the outfield and
Yeah,
Rick Shue
okay.
playing third base.
Talk about the team that lost 21 games in a row, so we are
Right.
scraping the bottom
But
of the barrel, but
other than that, I can't think of a worse defensive outfit than this one. I
I mean
really
that
can't.
team had two Ripkins in the middle, like they could catch the ball. I mean, I'm
And
thinking about
Murray.
I.
They
Yeah,
had
I mean,
Fred
I'm.
Lynn, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They look. I'll let you go on this, but you're really an old fart. You played Strat-O-Matic baseball.
And All-Star Baseball. Yeah, I played them all.
Strat-O-Matic baseball.
Yeah.
You graded the play. I tell Luke this all the time.
Right.
Tom Kapp and I and Charlie Kilgore, all my old friends, we
Yeah.
played with Johnny Raff. We played Strat-O-Matic baseball with the dice. We had a
Yeah.
league back in the 80s, and that was it. I was chasing girls, drinking beer, and still playing Strat-O-Matic baseball. It's how much I love Strat-O-Matic baseball. So 87, 88, 89, I had a league at my house. We would all blow on the dice and come over, have some
Right.
beers. You know what I mean? It was fun. We didn't have a football team then. It was fun, right?
Right.
Summertime,
Right.
88, 89, 90. 1-4 was defensive rating. You can look this up.
I know.
Strat-O-Matic was the best. One, you know, anybody, it's a great defense. Manny Machado's a one. Brooks is a one, right? Four, we would always say like Sherman Abando. That's the so it must have been 94, 95, 96 when we played this game. Sherman
Right.
Abando, Cheeto Martinez, they were fours, right?
Right.
Like in that era, you know, Glenn Davis was a three as a first baseman because he was a power hitter. So I'm just
Right.
going through player. Brady Anderson was a two, but really was a one. Like, but like we thought, well, they rated him wrong. They didn't value him. And then he became a one. Mike
Right.
Devereaux was a one, right? Great, great
Sure.
player. Mike Bordick would have been a one, right? Rich
Right.
Dower would have been a one.
Right.
So 1 to 4.
Yeah.
They don't have a guy on this. Like, Kowser's a two. They don't have
He's gotten better. I'll give him that.
Rutschman's a two,
Yeah.
and everything else is a four. I mean,
Yeah.
everything else about the team is baseline DH level. They have seven DHs in the field, like literally guys
When
that
you
you would
want,
not want to give a glove to, that
no.
Earl Weaver would come back and say that I can't put that guy on the field 7 days a week because he's just going to cost us, like, and collectively as an ensemble,
Oh, yeah.
it's brutal. It's just brutal. It's
Do
brutal
you
for the
watch?
pitchers. It's brutal to have two pitchers do color and talk
Oh,
about it
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. You watch Taylor Ward go after a fly ball? I mean, I know he's made a few plays this year. He's out there every day. High fly ball that's going to hit maybe on the warning track. He goes this way and that way. So he gets all turned around. He doesn't know how to go to the ball. Just basic stuff, man.
I love how much you love the game, Joel. You know what I mean? You get so
Well,
aggravated. I love it.
what do you call me a nasty MF-er? So, I don't know. Because I care, man. I
Yeah,
do.
I
I
care too.
want to see them do well.
I care
And
more
they
than
are just,
Katie Griggs. I do.
they
I
are
care. I care
so
more.
far removed from that.
You know how I know I
That
care more than Mark Fine and more than David Rubenstein? You know why? Because I'll be here
yeah.
when they're gone.
No
And
question.
that's what I told Rafael Palmeiro, and that's what I told Davey Johnson, and that's what I'm telling them all. I'll be here when you're gone. I told Angelos that too. Steve Miles,
Yeah.
that was the best thing. Steve Miles, the lawyer, he said to me
Right.
on the Free the Birds Day, I'll never forget this. He did the show a couple months ago. He's in his 80s now. He's one of my favorite people in life, Stephen L.
Right.
Miles. Let's talk about it. He said to
Yeah.
me, "Don't worry, man. You're going to outlive him." About Angelos. That's what he always told me 20 years ago. So I'll be,
There
listen, I'll get you back on in August. We'll tell some Free the Bird stories. It'll be a blast. There'll be 22
you go,
games under
bro. Look
500 miles.
forward to it.
Joel Poile is here. You can find him out on the internet. He is down in Tampa, Florida,
My
soaking up the
brother.
sun like Sheryl Crow, and enjoying himself down there. He's out on the internet. He has written a book on Tom Matta. You can find it, Last Man Standing. Hold that up. Tell everybody where they can find it.
There you go. Oh, it's all over Amazon, Books a Million, anywhere that it's not in stores, but anywhere online. Just put in Tom's name and the title of the book, and
Be honest with me. Is there a
there.
typo in the whole book? Are there any typos that you've identified?
I'm going to be honest with you. Because I've read it a thousand times. I had a lot of people help me, a lot of good editors, in addition to the
Is it
publisher.
clean? It's clean.
I
Good for you.
maybe one or
Good
two,
for
but
you.
I'm very proud of it. Very proud of it.
I'm proud of my books too, but they have typos in them. It's the first thing Steve Bisciotti mentioned to me. He is Joel Poile. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I got the ending right.